This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Normally, I would say asking the questions that matter, but I don't think I feel comfortable asking that question just quite yet. Instead, we will pivot to this fiery NFL take from Corey Majors. By the way, Marty Turco coming up at about 12:15-ish.
All right.
Bruce Bochy at 12:30. But...
ish?
Exactly. We talked about all of the rules, changes, and non-changes this morning. So the Lions withdrew their NFL playoff bracket reseeding proposal ahead of a rule change vote, which means like they probably took a temperature of everything and they're like, okay, this is not going to pass. Well, then the hell with it. And so in this, you know, you get the 8-9, 9-8 division winner who will host the 10-7 wildcard team. And they're like, no, that's stupid. Just stack them all up.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to how the NBA does, even though that's still broken down by conference and everything like that. And then you said...
I think it should be broken down by conference.
But you said another thing that I was really intrigued by about the divisional structure.
I think divisions are stupid. I think they're worthless. A division title doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing other than we get to fly a banner that says, and not a real banner. This is a hyperbolic banner. Is that the right word? It's not real. You get to fly that and go, we won the division this year, even though you haven't really done anything in the playoffs after that.
Yeah.
You were a bad team. That's why you lost in the first round of the playoffs, because you were 8-8 and you slipped into the playoffs. Winning a division title really is nothing but, it's more of a marketing ploy than it is anything else. It's hey, look, we have to play these three other teams two times a year. So you out there, build rivalries, which Jerry loves. He's told this many times. And I am about that. I do like that. I do like the idea of real rivalries existing. But John Daniels said a long time ago, for a rivalry to be real, both teams have to be good. It can't really just be one team just dominating it the whole time. And so that's where the rivalries are built, because you do play them. You are fighting for something in the division. But ultimately, when you win the division, it doesn't mean jack. And so I really do think stacking up the teams based on wins, based on their record, and that's what gets you the seeding, I think that's more important. Now, here's an argument against it. But they don't all play the same teams.
Yeah.
And I get that. That's fine, too. You do have to play your schedule. And so whatever your schedule is, that should define how good of a team or bad of a team you were that year. And I don't think that just slipping into the playoffs should get you a higher seeding.
Would you like the idea of the NFL kind of, if we went that route? Now, I know this is not the proposal on the table that, well, they withdrew because they didn't have a whole lot of support for it. But I'm intrigued about the idea that divisions are stupid and division titles are largely irrelevant. Would you try to move toward a round robin type schedule? Because there's 16 teams in both leagues. So Cowboys would play all 15 of the other NFC teams. And then you'd have the same kind of structure in terms of what out of conference teams that you play. Yeah, same kind of thing. Or if you really wanted to amp it up, which would make the Super Bowl even more potentially perplexing.
31 games.
Well, that was not that. I was going to say potentially have two designated rivals.
You telling me Jerry Jones wouldn't want 31 game schedule?
Yes, 100%. Because he's already given us this ridiculous line that I was like, stop it. He was like, no, we always view the NFL schedule as 20 games. Whether that's four preseason, 16 regular season, or whatever. And I'm like, what a neat way to try to sell that. Because that's what they're going to do with their players. They're going to go, hey, we're going to have 18 games with two byes and only two preseason games. 20 is the
number. 20 is the magic number. Plus the extra postseason games.
Yeah, so that, exactly. Because don't think that's not next. And so would you potentially then want to play every team in the NFC to really dissolve the idea of divisions? And maybe you play two of your rivals that extra time. Maybe you play two AFC teams that extra time. Or would you want to keep the old schedule in place? And you're just like, but if you win the division now, nobody cares. You might still be the 8 seed.
To be honest, Kevin, I haven't thought that far ahead on what I want and what I desire there.
Okay.
Because in my mind, it was just, I was just looking at the standings as a whole.
Yeah.
Like the NBA. Like we do look at the NBA, where we're like, all right, the top 8 teams in the NBA, that's the decision. Does the division title in the NBA matter at all?
No.
Does anybody care?
No.
Nobody cares. Now, baseball, I do feel like baseball is a little unique in that the field is still smaller in the playoffs. And so that's still a unique thing. But in football, when you've gone 30 years and you've won a couple of division titles here and there, and nothing else beyond that, then yes, a division title is important to you. But for a lot of people, Kevin, for you, the NFC title is important.
Yes.
Getting to the NFC title game is important.
Correct.
And that a lot of people have said that. I know Super Bowl is always the status.
By the way, can I just say the NFC title is important because that's the closest thing that is within reach. Like I'm here to win a Super Bowl, right? But like that feels so far away because we haven't been in the Super Bowl, let alone won in the Super Bowl, right. Let alone been in the game to get to the Super Bowl. And so that's why I've changed it to NFC Championship game, because we haven't even gotten that far. And I'm like, get me that. But you're right. Let's say the Cowboys went there 2 years in a row. I know things have gone very crazy. And you didn't win, then of course I would be to the point where I was like, neat, make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and so that's where somebody just said division titles aren't important in the big picture, but I agree. I love because the rivalries of these divisions have. You can keep rivalries.
Yeah.
You absolutely can keep rivalries, and you can keep, Kevin, you can keep the two games for each one in the division. But ultimately, when it comes to at the end of the season, where did you stack?
Yeah.
Well, did that division keep you from it? Oh, man, our division was just so tough. All right, then if you're that good of a team, you're going to win through the playoffs against these other divisions that weren't any good, right?
Yes. Look, and if you wanted to open it up, and like let's say you have interconference rivalry games. So like every year you had the Jets play the Giants.
Okay.
And every year you had the Cowboys play the Texans. That's like one of those. And then you would do whatever you wanted with the other one and rotate it. Or that would be a potential option. I'm not saying that should always be the case, but we've gotten to the point where you do see some curious playoff matchups. Like the fact that the Cowboys several years ago went on the road against the hapless Bucks and Tom Brady and just drill them into the ground, because that team probably had no business being in the playoffs, let alone hosting a playoff game. I'm all about taking away the hosting rights for some of these absurd teams that probably shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Are there rare instances where a team maybe had an injured quarterback for the first half of the season and came on strong late in the season, and now their record isn't really representative of what they are at the playoff time? Yes, but it's a full season.
Yeah.
Like that's what the season is built for, and we see it happen all the time. I don't like the idea that a team that was better has to go on the road simply because they were in a different division that was better.
And I know people might not just have general faith in the Vikings, especially this last year.
Yep.
But they were 4 games better than the Rams, and they had to go on the road to Los Angeles because the Rams won their division at 10-7, whereas the team that won the Vikings division was 15-2, and they were only 14-3.
Quite honestly, the Vikings fan base deserved better. Like yes. Their fans deserve to have that home game because their team was better.
They had the 3rd best record in all of football, and they were the 5th seed in just the NFC. Like that does seem weird. And I did see somebody who pushed back and was like, no, that's the only title we're going to win, so don't take it away from us, being the Cowboys.
No, I understand. Like that's, but even still, I don't even like that. I don't like the idea that an organization, not necessarily just the Cowboys, that an organization thinks, our fan base thinks that's just fine, that we won a division title and we get to host a game. Now, I can also understand how owners would disagree with this. Hold on. You're trying to take a game away from me
now?
Well, invest in your team. Make your team better, and you get that game. If you're a better team, you're going to get the game.
When the 469 can't win the Super Bowl without winning the NFC East division, Kevin, you absolutely can. 100% you can win the Super Bowl if you don't win your division.
Now, has it happened very frequently? No, but you can. Yeah. That's not an impossibility.
Yeah, absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll move into the expressway. It is going to be a jam-packed expressway. We got Bruce Bochy coming up. But coming up next, Dallas Stars all-time goalie win leader. It is Marty Turco right here on The Fan.
Trying to get it back. And then a weird hop again in front. Backhand shot. Turco scrambling, makes the save.
Oh, what a Larson save that was.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to that in just 1 second, but football news. The Buffalo Bills will be featured on Hard Knocks in the NFC East. That's the division the Cowboys play in. Will be featured on the in-season Hard Knocks. So if you care, get prepared for that. But right now, Dallas Stars all-time goalie win leader, purveyor of Kingsville. It is Marty Turco. Good afternoon, sir.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. It's game day. You got to be fired up, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Western Conference Finals. I feel like we've been here before against the same team. So I like our chances. Oh, my God. I'm so excited just to hear our fans. They've been so great this playoffs, and it's only going to get better.
Okay. I love the enthusiasm right there. I was curious from your perspective because there'll be different players. I know a lot of the core players are still there, but how much, if at all, do playoff rematches like when you guys would go up against the Avalanche stay on your mind?
They do. You're right. Every team's different. Certainly these two teams, but still, you know, majority of familiar faces, you know, coaches and goalies and such. But, you know, for us, you know, Mika Rantanen's, you know, that's a huge difference. We got a different look on D. And, you know, I can really argue Thomas Harley is just a totally different player, yep, confidence and what he's playing with. But on the flip side, I got to tell you guys, this is the deepest Edmonton has been in a long time. And there's not a fluke that they're in the Western Conference Finals against us. The only thing is we played probably the other best two teams in our conference, yeah, to get to this point, which is fine by me.
I know DeBoer's used this phrase a couple different times, and he used it especially about Game 6. He said, I don't think a less mature team could have won that game because the stick-to-itiveness part of everything. How important is that maturity over time? You just said it. You know, we're in our third Western Conference final here.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps. You know, there's so much talk in this world, and it's always true, but it's getting cliched, you know, that, you know, you learn through mistakes and experiences and defeats and losses. And that's part of the maturity. I think what Pete, our great coach, is talking about, you've kind of been there and felt it before. And, you know, unless you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you feel like every time you get to a game 7 or this first, second round, your destiny is already set for you. That ain't the case for us.
Cowboys of the NHL. Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
That was a pretty funny piece by a few people, but our team's got that experience, and when you know to get there, you know, winning in this league, it's pretty rare. You see a team just come out of nowhere and win, but for the teams that keep knocking on the door, we always say, hey, they only have so many years to do this, but somehow Jim Nill, you know, our fantastic general manager and his staff keeps reloading somehow, some way, with just great talent. And you know, the salary cap is a real thing and hard cap in our league, but man, you just feel like you give yourself chances like this, you're going to knock it through at some point. And like I said, right at the beginning, boys, I really think this is, you know, not only just because we have the team and the horses and Jake's playing so great, but I think that experience is just as important as anything else.
Now, obviously we have some follow-up questions about Jake in just a second, but this is a very deep Stars team. However, you've got Rantanen, Hintz, Harley, Johnston, Granlund. They've scored 26 of your 32 goals. How much do you need, whether you think it's Marchment, Duchesne, Ben Sagan, whoever, How much do they need other people to help share the scoring load in this round and hopefully the next round?
I think we're going to need it at some point. I think we're going to get it, okay? I think when we play these guys, generally it's a little more higher scoring. So yeah. That just gives other people opportunities. But it is playoffs. It's tight. You know, it's the best hockey that anybody's going to play. The willingness to do anything to keep the puck out, to put the puck in. Fortunately, you know, the guys that are scoring the goals, you know, look great, are pumping it, and we're fine if they keep doing that too.
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead.
Fill the net up, win the games for us. We got no problem. But with the guys you mentioned and others, you know, Blackwell and, you know, and those guys and, just, you know, Steele, who's been knocking on the door and scored a goal, big one for us. Those guys are doing a lot of little things. Great. I mean, Jamie Benn's playing awesome. You know, you saw Wayne Gretzky tell him just, hey, winning is important. I think that's the message that is in that locker room. And you got to do what you got to do to help your team.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It'll win, and if it means bearing one, so be it when the time comes. So I don't think it's an overarching issue for us. It would be nice. And this time of year, there's always just that, you know, unsung hero, scoring a goal, great shot, good pass, empty netter, doesn't matter. So we'll have some different heroes, I imagine, and I look forward to seeing who it's going to be.
Henrik Lundqvist, we all know, is a handsome man. Not Marty Turco.
Oh.
Not Marty Turco handsome. And if you say you don't like him, we don't like him either. But they made a big deal out of all the deflection goals. Is that really an epidemic in this playoffs? And, like, as a goalie, how do you feel whenever those kind of things happen?
Nah, that's nothing new.
Okay.
I do think what's new is, you know, there's probably more people in front of the net. And not just this year. This has been going on for 10 years. So it might be just a rash of it, or you can't escape it on social media and the replays. But, I mean, I think I've lost a series in Colorado. Someone shooting it out front of the net, hit my D man, the shin pad, going right through my 5-hole in overtime. You know,
like, dang.
That stuff, it sucks. It's, you know, you feel like it's your fault, but it's not. You know, there are some things goalies can do, I think, to find the puck and see it a little bit better. And, you know, probably my issue, I don't know what Hank has. And for the record, Hank, I play with his twin brother. They're both awesome.
Okay.
Hank is a good dude. He's a goalie. He's Swedish. He's a fantastic human being. He's a little dry on TV for my liking, but it's second language. You know, we just got the sharp suit, so we get the hall pass by most women and goalies. But those, I mean, anyway, those things, they just happen. So if you fight for it, right? And I don't know why goalies making saves that are like a foot or farther outside the net. It just takes you out from where the deflection might happen. And you can't predict it, especially off the skate,
right,
off of glove and whatever. But your job is to be center mass to the most likelihood of the play, right? But, you know, there was one couple last night just seeing eye shots, and you got a big goalie in Carolina, and he's looking over one dude, but then there's someone else is trying to block the shot, and it's just hard to find that thing. And I don't think, you know, what I hear a lot is people, you know, go to games and like, man, I just don't know how you guys see it through all that traffic. Well, the answer is, well, sometimes we don't. And it is our job. And, you know, we do this every day. And when someone shoots it from 40, 50 feet away, and you gotta make a blind guess of where you think that it was going. But we have a good idea when you, like I said, you do it every day. But these guys are the best in the world. There has been a lot of deflections. We've seen it in our series, right? I mean, the greatest goal we've had in, you know, probably since the Cup, or one of the greatest goals anyway in the last 20 years, Mikko's, you know, willing it into the net and, you know, flying and a wraparound, right? It
goes unbelievable.
No one cares. No one cares.
Yeah.
It was just, he was flying and he just said, this is going in. And he laid out his body going that speed to even attempt to wrap it around. I was like, this guy's crazy, but he wanted it so bad. And it happened. And, you call it whatever you want to call it. But, to me, he willed it in there, and whether it went off someone's skate or not, doesn't matter. It was, that place was so loud, and that guy can do no wrong, at least for the next couple of years.
Yep.
It was so fantastic.
Cave-ill for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Now, you talked about...
I'm buying.
Okay. You talked about how well Ottinger is playing. Now, for people who've been watching, I think we can see it. Save percentage, goals against is reflected as well. But is there anything in particular that you're like, man, he is doing that so well in the playoffs thus far?
You know, I think he's got such great poise. And so when he does make that, you know, heroic save last game in the third period to, you know, save that game and give us that chance to win.
Yep.
You don't see that often from him because he's so strong technically. And he moves great for a big guy. He tracks it good. But what I think, okay. So specifically to answer your question is I think he's tracking it as good as he has all season. So that means his eyes are on the puck. When it goes up, he sees it, hits somebody else. He's got a sense of where that puck is all the time. And it might sound like, oh, that is his job. And, you know, but it's probably more difficult than you think. And therefore, when you are tracking a grade, you make the game look easy and it just comes to you. And when you have to make a big save, then you get outside your comfort zone to do it and whatever it takes. And we had to do it more. Back in my day, I'm probably 4 or 5 inches shorter than this guy. And you know, even though I was quick, I just don't take up as much net. And we played more aggressively. And we didn't have the technique they do today with their skating and their movement on their knees, the way they slide around. It's like, man, it's just so efficient and great to see. It just makes make the goalies look like they're making less saves. But he's playing awesome. He's tracking it. He's controlling his rebounds. He's moving the puck behind the net just – you know, clean. And sometimes doesn't go out there. He's like, oh, it's not my time. Let my defenseman deal with it. But he's on. You could just tell he uses confidence that bleeds onto our bench and into the locker room, which you need this time of year.
And on the flip side for Stuart Skinner, how tough is it when you kind of bounce in and out of the lineup like that?
I don't know. I never bounced in and out of the lineup. I was in the lineup. I didn't miss many games, I'll tell you that. Didn't get pulled very often either. And I'm not. We had good teams. We didn't give up any goals. So,
can you give me the number of a worse goalie so I can ask them that?
I got tons of those guys on my phone. You know what? I'll say this about Skinner. This happened to him last year. Remember? I mean, you guys wouldn't remember, but he was in and out last year, and then he came in, went to the Stanley Cup Finals, and you know, played great. I mean, right after the end, he had a little hard time in the finals, but he's good. He's not a premier goalie in our league, but he's one of the top 30 in the world. So this guy is, he's big. He takes up a lot of net. I enjoy the way he plays. He's a little more erratic at times, but he tries hard and. You can see it in his eyes that, you know, he wants it, but kind of hoping he doesn't do any kind of magic like he did against us last year. If it's a goalie off, I do like our chances. Jake's playing as good as he ever has. And, but yeah, it's, you know, sometimes I'm jealous. Like this guy got to rest and practice for like, you know, a week and find his game. I never got no time in the middle of playoffs to find your game or whatever when you lose it. But, you know, I'm just kind of half joking. And these guys are good. And, you know, we just saw a 3-time Vezina Trophy winner last series struggle a few games on the road in the first round and against us. Gave him a chance in the last game, but it's hard. It's hard this time of year. There's so much pressure, and whether, you know, Hank trying to defend goalies and say, oh, it's not their fault, going off shin pads and stuff. I've been there. You know, you got to make your own breaks, and it's our Stanley Cup, man. It's a hard thing to win. So we're down to four teams. This is super exciting. I've never in all my years, I was here in 99 and 2000, which was a blast and helped put hockey on the map. But this city is on fire right now. Everywhere I go, people are talking about it. The request for tickets, insane. Media for the guys and alumni, you know, like, I've been on your guys' show in a while.
Oh, yeah. And we'll be
happy to be back on.
And we'll be happy to have you back on anytime, Marty. We are looking forward to this. Thank you so much for hopping on with us today, man. We're hoping for this cup just as much as you are, man. And I'm telling you, I'll be sipping on a Kingsville tonight, watching these Stars get after it, man.
Yeah, I'll be having one in the suite. Just to calm the nerves a little bit. Yep. You know, when you can't play, it sucks. You can't do the game. And I was sitting with Gretzky last game and in our owner's suite, and he's just like, man. And he's got no dog in the fight. He's just like, man, it sucks. You feel for these guys. You get nervous watching because he used to dominate, right? And so now he can't. But anyway, appreciate you guys. Really fun talking to you.
See you, man.
Love you, Marty.
There you go. Marty Turco right here on 105.3 The Fan. Love talking with Marty Turco. Now, we'll get the opportunity to talk to another person that we thoroughly love talking with as well, Bruce Bochy, in just a minute for the Bruce Bochy Show. By the way, did you know that is brought to you by National Car Rental? Whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today and Olshant. Now, one of the things that Marty just said, and I think is accurate, and you're going to see this, especially if they can win this series, is it feels like the city does really pick up hockey fire. Now, could that be because we're a front-running city? Maybe. Or it could be for a variety of reasons, but we will talk about those a little bit later. In the meantime, right now, it's time to talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Alec, do you got the song?
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Good afternoon, sir. How we doing today?
Hey, we're doing well. Just walking in Yankee Stadium here. Looks like, we could be in the delay. I don't know. It's raining pretty hard. They've called off batting practice already, but hopefully we'll get it in.
And I know normally we don't ask weather-based questions, but with the weather looking tough tonight, maybe the weather looking tough tomorrow as well, are there already like alternate plans? Or, I mean, I know you need to get these games in.
Yeah, right now there's no alternate plans. They do see a pretty good window from 6 to 9, so they'll keep the tarp on till the rain stops, and hopefully we'll get it in. With conditions getting worse tomorrow, they will do all they can to try to get this one in tonight. And we may have to hang around tomorrow, or if they call it early, then we'll head on to Chicago and have to come make it up here on another day. But knock on wood, clears up and we play.
What is there an allure to Yankee Stadium? I know Mike, he was sending us some texts and he was like, I'm here at Yankee Stadium. This is my first time. Is there still a bit of an allure when you walk into that stadium?
It was more so the older stadium, the other stadium for me. So much history there. I love that facade out in right field that hung over the field a little bit. I mean, this is a nice stadium and still some of that, but not quite the same. You know, it's not where, Mantle and Ruth and those guys played. And that. So anyway, it's always good to get here, though. You're playing a team that has so much history and you get the monuments out there. So players do enjoy walking around here.
Now, Boach, I saw the video last week, and we didn't get a chance to talk to you since that happened, but whenever you moved up on the record list, and I did see a bottle of Pappy sitting there on the table. Is that an everyday pour, or is that something that gets tucked away for a special occasion?
Yeah, you know what? I made a lot of friends when I got that bottle. I didn't know on the team, but we said, let's battle our way to the postseason, and that would be a good time to open it. So, yeah, it's got to be a special occasion on that one.
Do you get a bottle also for moving up on the list of ejections? Is that something too?
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll get a bottle of moonshine for that one. it's a little different, but yeah, you know what? It's just been a really tough run, as I said last night. These calls, man, they're different makers. And last night, you know, wasn't so bad, but 2 days ago or 3 days ago, that last day, and Leiter didn't get a couple of pitches there. Look, you know, I go back and look at it. They were strikes, and it changed the game. You know, now we would have had one out, man on first, and they end up coming back hitting a three-run homer. So just goes to show you how important the calls are. Yep. And that's why I'm so into this challenge. You know, it just makes sense to me. You know, it takes away, you know, that bad call at the worst moment. And so anyway, I'm hoping that they do bring it in next year.
Have you guys had any discussions? Because I've read a couple of players talking about that with the automatic ball strike system, that perhaps where the pitch gets logged could be up to like 4/10 of an inch away from the pitch where it actually was across the plate. Has anybody said anything to you about that?
I know there's talk with the players that it's not completely accurate because of what you're saying, but the ABS is, I think, overall can be a little bit more accurate than the human side. We're human. We're going to make errors. We're going to miss calls and those things. So, yeah, you know, I think it does give you a better chance of getting that call right, and at least you feel better about it after you challenge it. And if it's that close, it doesn't go your way. Well, that's not why it's put in. It's the call that, you know, was off a few inches or when it really catches the plate good. And those pitches that Leiter threw, they caught the plate pretty good.
Talk with Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan, man. Excellent insight, as you always give us. Thank you very much for that. I was curious. I understand the frustrations about that, but in a different way, frustrations have to be there with y'all in terms of runners in scoring position, because y'all created a lot of opportunities yesterday, but just couldn't seem to cash in.
Yeah. You get bases loaded. You know, when you're facing a good pitcher, you need to find a way to get those runs in, and couldn't do it. You know, they end up costing us. But it's not been real good for us this year. I think it's been picking up. I think guys overall have been doing a little better job last 2-3 weeks. But last night, it just didn't happen for us.
Are you encouraged by the fact that in addition to it picking up, it seems like y'all are creating more chances with runners in scoring position, and just theoretically that should hopefully lead to better results?
Yeah. You know what? Last night, I can't say that. Last night, I was talking about this after the game. It just looked like we weren't picking up the ball very well. I mean, we had 9 strikeouts in 4 innings. 5 of them we took. That's unlike us. And this was a little different. We didn't create a lot of opportunities last night. But when you do, that's when you really got to cash in.
Boach, I was watching a little video on Matt Cain's perfect game, and him and Buster Posey were talking about, you know, what the moment was like in that game. And I was kind of curious, a couple different things. One, how many of those kinds of games, no hitters and perfect games, have you been there to see? And also, is there ever a tell that this guy's going to have something special tonight? Did you know something special was going to happen on that night?
I can't say. I knew, you know, a perfect game was going to be thrown.
Right, yeah.
That was on top of his game. And then it's when you get through that fifth inning, I think, where you go, oh, geez, you know, he's got a legitimate shot at this thing. I mean, now you get down to 12 outs. In fact, lighter, you know.
Yep.
You
yeah.
Get a chance at a no-hitter. So, you know, you feel like, hey, this could happen. And stuff is really good. So, but, you know, the thing about that game, what I found out, and I've been in a few of them. I mean, I saw Timmy throw a couple no-hitters, Sanchez. I saw Heston. He threw a no-hitter. He's a rookie. He threw a no-hitter in New York. But that game, the perfect game, it can bring a club together. Because when you get to the last three, four innings, everybody's pulling so hard for the pitcher. They're sitting in the same spot. They're not saying anything. You know, they're nervous as far as making the plays. Nobody wants to make that error. So anyway, it was pretty cool to see how that kind of brought the club together, closer together. And we went on a pretty good run that year.
Now, I know you guys, or Major League Baseball in general, has all kinds of advanced statistical metrics. Baseball Savant is adding like swing path, attack angle, attack direction, all kinds of different stuff for hitters. I'm curious, do you ever feel like there can be too much information and data and that it muddles what is most important, or is more information always just a good thing?
I've said this. I think no doubt there's way too much information. I mean, information is good, but you know, sometimes you get too caught up in the process versus what you need to do, go out there and compete and find a way to get it done and battle and play with the grit that you need to. And those things, things you can't really measure, because it's not going to stop because we have so many smart people in the game. They're going to come up with more numbers and stuff, which is fine. And some guys can handle it better. But I think sometimes we do paralyze ourselves with all this information. You know? So that's the old paralysis by analysis. And so I think that's hit us a few times.
Yeah, sometimes I do tell Kevin, don't think me, and that's usually when he's at his best. So Aaron Judge competing against him, when Juan Soto said he's the best hitter in baseball, I was like, hold on, I thought Juan Soto was the best hitter in baseball, but then he's like, no, he is. When you're going to the plate against, when you're pitching against him, what is the kind of the feeling? What are you trying to stay away from against him, and what are you trying to, what areas are you trying to attack on him?
Well, you got to mix it up. You can't get in a pattern. I mean, if he had, you know, definite holes, that's the only place you would throw it. So, you know, you got to create some doubt on what pitch is coming. And so you mix it up, but you got to be careful. You know, every team, there's a guy you don't want to beat you. Well, he stands out above everybody. And last night, yeah, he hit the home run. He didn't hit it well. That ball's a fly ball in our ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I think it was his shortest home run. But anyway.
That's correct.
That
yeah.
is absolutely yeah. true. Yep.
Yeah, so you've got to pick your spots. You know, you'll probably see me put them on. But, you know, we go over it on how we're going to pitch them. And, you know, it's not one size fits all in this thing because pitchers have different arsenals. So, you know, how we attack them, it's going to be a little bit different.
Well, as a former catcher, I'm sure when you would watch your pitchers and you would know whenever a guy was a little tight against a guy or whenever he was a little more relaxed and comfortable. Do you still kind of watch in that same way and you kind of notice, all right, this against this guy, he's a little bit different?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, and what's amazing is the really good hitters, because sometimes they're trying to be too careful. They're the ones that always get the mistakes and they don't miss them. But you got to get the calls. I mean, that's the pitch I got rung on last night. Got
yep.
thrown out. The judge was up. And that's what I said. I don't care who's hitting or where we're at. Strike's a strike, you know. But, you know, it's such a small margin of error when you face good hitters like that.
I think despite a couple of different disappointing results against Houston, we've all been pleased by the bullpen thus far this year. What kind of anticipation do y'all have for Chris Martin? I know he went on the injured list, but when you see one pitch got to go back out, that obviously I think makes a lot of fans kind of nervous.
Yeah. I mean, we think he's going to be fine. In fact, probably could pitch in 4 or 5 days in that area. But, you know, now's the time to, you know, I think, give him a break. We have rode him pretty good with all the close games we played. And he's done a terrific job. So, anyway, we're going to back off and give him his break right now, because he's such an important part of our bullpen. And, you know, I got to make adjustments down there. He's a guy that uses the stopper and then go back out. Maybe I just got to give him the one inning and that's it. But we all know how important that stopper role is. We saw Robertson do it last year. Those guys are invaluable. Come in and get an out, maybe two, and go back out. But, you know, it's some guys that, it's probably not their time to do it. Chris, you know, he's getting a little bit older, let's be honest. And so it's up to me to, you know, try to take better care of him.
Well, thank you very much for all the insight and information, as always. We'll catch up with you again next week, and good luck getting these games in and getting some wins.
I appreciate it, guys. Always good talking with you. Y'all have a good day.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. I saw it seemed like your interest level was peaked when he goes, yeah, look, we might just put him on base. We're talking about Aaron Judge.
No, I mean, I love the strategy part of things. And whenever you have a batter like that, is that the best decision for the team, because you feel like you can really attack everybody else?
We're past the point that you can just say it's a small sample size that leads to these ridiculous numbers. I'm not predicting that he will end with these numbers. But right now, Aaron Judge is on pace to hit 403 with 55 home runs, 148 RBIs, and an OPS of 1.253.
So you're saying he's pretty good?
Yeah. Yes.
Or
he's very, very good.
Oh, that was two varies. So you really believe
yes.
it?
Yes. That's wow. right.
You don't usually give that kind of a compliment to somebody. Hey, anybody.
He's looking like
Alec.
One of the greatest hitters that we've seen in the modern era. So.
I try to give you as many varies as possible, Alec. It's Kevin that really holds on tight to him. So.
Especially when he's making some of those short jokes.
Which means whenever he does give the double vary, it really means that he means it. So.
All right. If you can, go ahead and give me cut number 3, because I want to turn our attention just a little bit to the NBA and NHL playoffs.
Isaiah Joe has to give it up. Shot clock. He's at 8. Williams one-on-one with Randall. Gets past him. The floater's up and good. Tough shot from Jalen Williams.
You saw last night Oklahoma City really ran away with it. It was very competitive in the first half, and then they just kind of broke it open. And with the defense that Oklahoma City is playing right now, it's just one game. And they had a home game. But it's the overarching idea of how well Oklahoma City can play defense. Do you think that this is going to be their series?
I actually do. I do feel at this point, man, especially with the skill that Shea has at drawing fouls. Remember how frustrating it was with Harden?
Yes.
Whenever you'd just be like, it was obvious. And the referee's like, I didn't see it that way. Like his skill at it. Last night, that shot that he made from laying on the ground, you're just like, what? How do you even make that too?
Yeah.
But also, you know, the frustration that I feel Anthony Edwards must have had being, you know, at 4 fouls and kind of sitting there having to watch as the lead kind of is expanding away from him. That had to have been frustrating too. And then he's got to get back in there and do a lot of work. And it was too far away for him.
I know on the other side of the bracket, their fans did some very regrettable things, but do you find yourself rooting for Jalen Brunson in the Eastern Conference Finals?
1,000%.
I do too.
And because two things. One, when he was here, he gave us some electric games.
Yep.
And he never gave us any reason to root against him while he was here. It was always reasons to root for him. I remember, I think I really picked up on it, Kevin, when Rick Carlisle was like, I went to, was it Villanova? I went to Villanova and asked who the best player ever from Villanova was, and everybody thinks it's Jalen Brunson. And I was like, dude, that late of a pick, and everybody thinks that, and Rick Carlisle thinks that about him too, and he thinks that highly of him. Rick Carlisle could be hard-edged, you know, and difficult sometimes, but his knowledge of basketball, I respected a ton. And so when he said that about Jalen Brunson, and then on top of that, Jalen Brunson was just awesome anytime we had him on the show.
Yeah. Like,
you know, anytime we talked to him, he was fun. He was intriguing. He was engaging. And so I will always root for him. Now, Am I kind of rooting for Rick Carlisle a little bit? Part of me. Part of me also is rooting against him because of those rough around the edges things. But this whole Tyrese Halliburton hate that exists in the world for a dude that's like really good. And then he tweets out after the Olympics when you didn't do anything on the project but still got an A and he's holding up his gold medal. Like, he's got a personality that's fun. Why does everybody hate him so much? Is it because he plays for the Pacers or because people think he's overhyped?
Which is weird because, like, that's what the players said, right? They said he's the most overrated player in the league. And I did like that Rick Carlisle was like, what a mean-spirited question to ask. And I was like, that's a fair point. But, like, underrated, you're like, all right, so people are going to feel good about this. Most overrated. Like, I understand that. I don't particularly get it either. So I'm confused about that. All right. For the NHL side, man, Carolina got punched in the face last night. And what I mean by that is, look, people lose games. Obviously, the Stars have been on the wrong side of a couple of lopsided playoff games already. But you look at the march for Carolina to the Eastern Conference Finals, they lost two games. One by one goal, and the other game they lost by two goals because of an empty netter. So realistically, they were both one-goal games that they lost. They got punched in the face yesterday, especially as that game went along, and Florida just stomped them 5-2. I mean, it feels like Florida has really pulled a lot of momentum coming out of that Toronto series, especially since they D'd around multiple times in that series and almost lost. But they looked tremendous yesterday, and I wonder if the Stars win, it's inevitable that they're going to face the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Ooh, and, man, listening to Sean McDonough this morning on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show, actually, Peyton wasn't there today, so I got to give Ross the love on that.
That's
one.
That's right.
Just listening to him talk about Paul Maurice and where he came from as an assistant coach and grew into this makes it even more fun for me. I know whenever potentially the Stars face them, I'm going to have to hate him. All right, I understand this. I get it. But his quotable stuff last year, Kevin, we loved it. We cracked up all the time. And so I'm looking forward to more of that stuff. So I've really enjoyed him along the way.
And look, I think we just came to the point where we'll agree to disagree on this from the 806. He left the Mavericks on his own free will, so there is reason to hate him because they wouldn't pay him enough. Like, that's what it comes down to. And I know some people think he was going to New York no matter what.
That's
absolutely
probably so.
Not. I don't agree with that. I think if you would have maxed him out, then he would have stayed. And right now, that would have looked like a smart decision.
But also, dad getting the job with the Knicks, if the Mavs were offering that, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much influence that has.
Even if you did have a good relationship with your dad, unlike me, if there's so many millions on the table, I'm like, yeah, all right.
Let me ask you a question real quick. All right, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, or in the C Block.
Coming up next.
Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and Nick Harris, where you can ask him whatever you want.
I'm not asking him anything.
Oh, next on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.